Good morning. We're calling to order the May 22nd, 2013 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator for the City and County of San Francisco, here with Eva Ahatahara-Taylor, who's at the controls of the hearing today. Thank you for your patience and apologies for starting a little bit late there. We just had to renumber the sign-in sheets. More about the sign-in sheets in a second. Some general information on the variance hearing process. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to grant a variance have been met for their project. At this time, the applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak during public comment. And if there is any public testimony in opposition to the project sponsor will be allowed a 3-minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. And at the end of the hearing, I may make a decision today or take the matter under advisement or continue it to a future date. There's one item on the consent calendar. Items on the consent calendar are matters that are considered routine. If you would like to speak on this item, please step forward. Otherwise, the item would be granted, and we'll get to that in a minute. There's a general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda today. Now I'd like to go into the criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Given the current number of variance cases and backlog, it may take up to 2 months to complete the decision letter from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to get a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet that's on the far wall and with your contact and mailing information, and we'll send you a copy of the decision letter. And this is important because it's the decision letter which is appealable. So the decision letter is appealable within 10 days of the issuance of the letter to the Board of Appeals. Other items, while we encourage parties to talk about the project, to discuss the project, it can be disruptive in the hearing room. So if you do have to have conversations, we request that you go outside. The next variance is scheduled for Wednesday, June 26, 2013. Audio recordings of variance hearings going back to January 2011 are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda. And now we can go, I guess before we get to the consent, we'll do another housekeeping item, which is a continuance. There's one continuance, which is item number two. It's the first item on the regular calendar, case number 2011.0896V, 225 Santa Ana Avenue. That item was scheduled for hearing at our last variance hearing in April. A discretionary review was filed. We're going to have a joint hearing on the DR and the variance. And so we'll be continuing this item to the joint hearing with the Planning Commission, which will be on Thursday, July 18th, 2013, beginning at approximately noon, or anytime after noon, and it'll be in room 400, not in this room. And again, that's a joint hearing with the Planning Commission so they can consider the discretionary review request. And with that, is there any public comment on the continuance of that item? Seeing none, that item is continued. The public hearing will remain open at that joint hearing date. And let's see if we can go to the consent calendar.
We only have one item in our consent calendar, item number one, case number 2012.1214V, 777 Buena Vista Avenue West, front setback variance sought.
Is there any public comment on this? So as the project sponsor, you don't need to speak unless if there's a public comment on the item. So is there any request to take this off the consent calendar? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance as was a consent item, and we can move on now to the regular calendar.
Since item number 2 has been continued to July 18, 2013, with a joint hearing with our commission, we will move now to item number 3. Case number 2013.0198V, 85 Miguel Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay.
Great.
Do you need the affidavit for posting?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, my name is Robert Crum, and I am the project... Actually, let me move this other way first. Hello, my name is Robert Crum, and I am the project sponsor and designer for this project. The owners, Christopher Sharp and Sally Bedros, are in the process of a two-unit condominium conversion for 85 and 87 Miguel Street. We are requesting a variance from the planning code in order to respond to the condominium building inspector's report of this inspection. As part of this conversion, the building inspectors requested proof of permit documentation for the construction of a basement-level room enclosure that was constructed underneath the first-floor deck in the rear yard. It was discovered later in the condominium conversion process that no permit could be located for the room enclosure. Therefore, it was determined the previous owners had built it along with the basement deck without a permit. We were requesting a rear yard variance from the planning code because a small portion of the room enclosure, as well as the basement deck and deck stairs, encroach into the required rear yard. The property owners need a variance in order to continue with the condominium conversion process. Wanted to show this first photo here. This shows the rear room enclosure, which is constructed underneath the existing first floor deck here, and the green deck that extends off of that is the basement deck. And this next photo is just a close up view of the rear room enclosure. That was constructed under the first floor rear deck there. The owners purchased the property 5 years ago, but the room enclosure under the first floor deck, basement deck, and deck stairs was constructed approximately 20 years ago by the previous owner. It has remained unchanged since they bought the property. Because the previous owner did not disclose at the time of the sale that the construction was built without a permit, the cost of demolishing the room enclosure, basement deck, and deck stairs presents a significant and unexpected financial hardship to the current owners. Demolishing the unpermitted construction would cost the current owners a significant amount of money in permit and deconstruction fees. The room enclosure, basement deck, and deck stairs are located in the rear yard of the property. They are not visible from Miguel Street, and there have been no neighborhood complaints about the room enclosure and deck as they've existed for approximately 20 years or so. The current owners are proposing to properly legalize and permit the 20-year-old structure and bring it up to code compliance. Taking a look here at the site plan, you can see that clearly. Let me just move that down there. The subject lot is a very short lot. The west property line measures 72 feet and the east property line 74 feet in length. All the lots along this block of Miguel Street have very short lots. Additionally, it should be noted that the existing property has an exceptionally steep downward sloping lot, and the already existing deck helps to maximize the utility and enjoyment of the backyard. The adjacent buildings also have several decks within their rear yards. Please also note the neighbor's rear deck to the west protrudes well beyond our deck. And you can see the dashed outlines here and on the other side here, the neighbor's decks. On the site plan, I have highlighted in blue the area of the room enclosure under the existing deck and the basement deck, which is highlighted in pink, that extend beyond the line of average depth of the adjacent buildings. And I show that dashed line there. You can see in the site plan just a tiny strip, about 10.5 inches of room enclosure encroach into the required rear yard. And you can also see that the entire deck and deck stair encroach into the required rear yard. Please note the east stair is below 3 feet in height, therefore I did not highlight it. And here is the floor plans here. The room enclosure under the existing deck is highlighted in yellow. It's 158 square feet and extends only 7 feet, 7 inches from the existing rear wall of the house. And the basement deck, which is highlighted in green, extends 5 feet 3 inches from the room enclosure, and the deck stairs and extend an additional 3 feet 6 inches. The area of the basement deck is 112 square feet. Okay. I don't know if you can zoom out on that there. There's the enclosure. As I mentioned before, the current owners are proposing to properly legalize and permit the 20-year-old structure and bring it up to code compliance. On the exterior, we are proposing to improve the room enclosure, basement deck, and deck stairs by adding firewalls parallel to the property lines. We're also proposing to replace the deck guardrails to be code compliant. These are the only changes we're proposing to make. In closing, I hope this information is helpful and clear in understanding the project history of 85 Miguel, and we hope this information presented to you is adequate to grant us a variance. Thank you.
So I think you noted kind of some of the important elements of this, and the lot depth you said was 75, 76 feet.
Yes.
And then this was work that was done 20 years ago, and there's no complaints on the property. This was because you're doing a condo conversion. And there was a building inspection checklist on that?
Yeah, exactly. So my clients are doing a condo conversion two-unit, and the building inspector for the condo conversion noted that he wanted to see documentation for this room enclosure under the deck. And so I went to the building department, and we didn't see any. So it just, according to the owners.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we're guessing it's approximately 20 years in age. Looks pretty old.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item, on item number 385 Miguel Street. Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on the item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that the Section 311 notice expired on May 2nd. There were no discretionary review requests. There's also, as noted, the physical limitations on the property given the lot depth, the downward slope that's existed for some time without any apparent adverse impact, and it's a feature that is not inconsistent with others found on the block face or in the rear yards. So thank you. We can move on to item number 4.
Item number 4, case number 2013-0146V, 2335 15th Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor here? You have 5 minutes, sir.
All right, thank you. Good morning. My name is Andy Morrell. I'm the architect for the project. The owners are Benji Tsai and Wendy Lamb. And essentially the project is just to enclose an existing rear deck that amounts to approximately 50 square feet on the second level. The lot dimensions, it's only 88 feet in depth. Currently, the house is sandwiched in between two houses that have fairly recently built significant third-story additions. So what we're proposing is to do primarily interior renovations to the kitchen and to the bathrooms to bring them up to current standards. We're doing a small addition at the side yard of the property to expand the kitchen. And we're proposing to enclose this small rear deck in order to give more space for an additional bathroom for the master bedroom. So, as I mentioned, there are two adjacent houses that have similar setback conditions, where they also the existing houses also extend into the required rear yard, as ours does. The current structure already expands into the required rear yard, and the addition that we're proposing does not extend further than what already extends into the rear yard. Also, I might add that the proposed 50-square-foot addition is on the south side of the property, so it does not cast a shadow on the adjacent property, and therefore does not impact the light and air of any adjacent properties. Also, at the pre-application meeting, the neighbors did attend, and the neighbor to the immediate south voiced her approval of the project and put so in writing in the form for the pre-application meeting. So, and essentially, because of the given configuration of the property. There really isn't any opportunity for any expansion whatsoever other than what we're proposing, other than as the two adjacent properties have done as far as their expansion. They've done significant third-story additions. So the scope of what we're proposing wouldn't warrant such a such an addition. What we're doing is primarily, again, interior renovations and alterations. And because of that, and because of the existing configuration of the house that was built circa 1920 or so, so we're just proposing these really minor additions, one on the side yard here, and then the one at the back here. And you can see where the existing setback, we're not going past that. This is an illustration of the property in the center, flanked by the two much larger adjacent properties with their third-story additions. This one was done in 1980, and this one was done in approximately 2000. And they're both approximately 800 square feet and run the length of the building. So, as you can see, that's the proposed addition that we're doing that is enclosing an existing deck as it stands. So, and just for comparison's sake, that's the existing conditions as it is now. So there's not much impact as far as what we're proposing at all to the existing conditions to the adjacent neighbors. Some additional photos. That's to the north. That's the property to the north. So this is the third story addition to the north. That's the third-story addition to the south. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
See if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number four for 2335 15th Avenue. I see no public comment on item number four, so I close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that the Section 311 neighborhood notification expired on May 3rd. There were no discretionary review requests filed. Also, as been stated by the project sponsor, this is a shallower than typical lot dimension. The subject project is improving the efficiency of the layout of the kitchen and the master bedroom. It doesn't extend any further into the required rear yard than the existing building itself. And it is also on the north side of the adjacent property that would be most impacted. So there's going to be no, it's on the addition itself is on the south side of the subject building. So there will be no shadow impacts on adjacent properties. And we also have a letter of support from the adjacent property to the south. So again, be inclined to grant that variance. Public hearing is closed, and we can move on to item number five.
Item number five, case number 2013-0148V, 427 Noe Street. Rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? 427 Noe Street. Sponsor? Okay.
We'll hold that item over. We seem to have one a month where someone doesn't show, so we'll hold that item over, give them time to attend. Otherwise, it'll be continued to the next calendar.
Moving to case number six. 2013-0187V, 760 to 762 Noe Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic. Ma'am, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning, zoning.
Can you please move the,
is that thank it? You. Yes. Good morning, zoning administrator. I am the project sponsor. My name is Ardeen Knights, and I have lived in the neighborhood for the past 50 years. My main concern is to remove the existing fire escape, as I will be 78 years old this August, and God forbid there should be a fire, I would not be able to get the ladder down to the ground. I feel that replacing the existing fire escape with a small deck landing and a spiral stair would get me down safely with my dog. I also find it difficult to get to the rear yard to do gardening. My architect, Jorge Carbonell, is here with me and is available to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. I understand that there was one call of opposition, but it was your neighbor on Noe that is on the other side of the property that would even be impacted, because this is your corner lot, and the proposed deck and stairs are on the corner. On Noe. So that was the neighbor who had concerns, were they on Liberty or on Noe?
They're on Noe.
Okay. Yeah. And so it's behind your property. So where that, then there's a one-story garage.
Right, with a deck on top.
Okay. And the nature of their concerns were a little unclear to me, what the potential impact could be on their property. Do you have any idea? Have you had any conversations with them?
No, I don't see how there would be any impact. But again, the property owner lives in Cloverdale, and her brother lives on the property.
Okay.
And he's got heart problems and is supposedly going to have surgery sometime soon.
Okay. Well, we can see if there's any public comment. Maybe someone is here to speak to that. I don't know. We'll go to public comment and see if there's anyone there. But thank you.
Thank you so much.
Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 6 now, 760 to 762 Noe Street.
Yes. Hi. Hello. My name is Jorge Carbonell. I'm the architect for the project. And I wanted to show the relationship of the existing fire escape to the neighboring building in Noe. So this was the property owner that called the planner. And this is the area of the scope of work. Right now the fire escape is 3 by 3 foot 8 by 10 foot 9, and we're proposing to replace it with a slightly smaller landing and spiral stairs. Also, as soon as we heard from the planner that the neighbor had called, we made ourselves available to meet with the owner of the building next door. We never heard anything from them. And they also, there was a 311 period, and we never received any request for DRs or any communication with me or with the owner to meet with us directly.
Okay.
Although the planner encourage the owner to call us, we never got any communication from them directly.
Okay, thank you. So is there any public comment on this item, on item number 6, 760 to 762 Noe Street? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it is a shorter than typical lot, at only 50 feet deep, and that it's replacing an existing fire escape with a deck and a spiral stair, which will provide easier access to the required rear yard. Also, the 311 notice expired on May 16th, and there were no discretionary review requests. The project sponsor has made themselves available to discuss concerns with neighbors, and it sounds like the neighbor has not reached out to them to discuss the project. So, again, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant item number 6. I was wondering, did the project sponsor for item number 5 come into the room, which was 427 Noe Street? Okay, I guess not. Well, we'll just hold
that. Okay, move to item number 7, case number 2013.0143V, 672 Moultrie Street. Mass reduction and parking variance is sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning. My name is Ariel Gessler, and I'm the architect for the project. I'm here representing my clients, Nicole and Matt Twyman. The house itself is in a special use district in Bernal Heights, and there's two provisions of the special use district that we're asking for exceptions or variance from. The first being the parking requirement. We're not proposing any change to the parking. There's currently no existing off-street parking or garage on the property. There's no curb cuts, and there's actually a very large street tree with a diameter over 12 inches, which would also inhibit access to that. In addition, the this is an upslope property. There's a 14-foot difference between the first floor finished floor and the curb, about 8 feet from the existing grade at the house to the curb as well. So again, causing issues for parking. The other section of the code that we're looking for a variance on is the mass reduction. Being in Bernal Heights, there's a requirement for 650 square feet of mass reduction for every property. Regrettably, this property is rather small. It only has, it's 25 feet wide, which is standard, but only 70 feet deep. That, in combination with the existing front setback, which is just over 11 feet, which is comparable to one of the two adjacent neighbors, but not consistent with the street. It's actually more significant than the street. Means that that, in addition with the upslope topography, strictly applying the 650 square feet reduction would result in a single-family residence of 1,376 square feet, which is actually smaller than the existing house right now. It's a 32% reduction from the overall allowable. That would otherwise be allowable if this reduction were not required in the special use district. There's no change or no proposed change to the use. It's a single family residence. They're looking to add a bathroom and a bedroom upstairs to the property. But it will remain as a single family residence, so there's no impact, negative impact seen to the neighborhood or the area. And I'm happy to answer any questions, or I can walk you through the project. I have a set of plans if you'd like to have any more information.
Thank you. I think that that was very clear. I mean, in particular, the issue regarding the addition of parking being difficult given the topography of the lot. There are large retaining walls in the front, so it required significant excavation in order to add parking where none currently exists. And the floor plan, I see that you're improving the efficiency of the floor plan as well. In that currently the master bedroom is on the lower level off
of
the kitchen.
That's correct.
And so this would have the master bedroom as the same level as the bedroom.
Closer to the kids' bedroom, which is part of the request. That's correct.
Yes, I understand that. Thank you.
Thank you. I also have the affidavit for the posting and photographs as well.
Excellent. Thank you. So we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 7, 672 Moultrie Street. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'd close the public hearing on this item. I'd be inclined to grant the requested variance, but I would hold the decision letter until the end of the expiration of the Section 311 notice, which is just in a few days on the 29th of May. And noting again the topography of the lot and also the fact that the proposed addition itself complies with the rear yard requirements. It's the ground level which does not comply with the rear yard requirements and is causing issues in regards to the mass reduction. So, again, public hearing is closed, inclined to grant, but holding decision letter until May 29th. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 8, case number 2012.1075V, 43 Powers Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? 43 Powers, project sponsor, please approach the mic. Move to item number 9.
Yeah, I know that there had been some opposition to that project on Powers, but we can hold that item over and move on to item number 9. And so at this point, we have two no-shows so far, item number 8, 43 Powers Avenue, and item number 5, 427 Noe Street. So no one's here for either of those items. Is there even any member of the public here for either of those items? Okay, well, let's just...
Item number 9, case number 2013.0241V, 176 8th Avenue, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Do you want this?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. The rear yard variance is what I'm seeking. I'm Alex Tokar. I'm the owner and principal occupant of the building. I guess it'd be one of the things I can do. I don't know if that's going to show up very clearly. Am I supposed to go the other way? Oh, there it is. Thank you. Okay. Perhaps I should walk you through the project quickly and then get on to the 5 points. So the notion of what I'm doing, I actually got the idea from 3 other projects in my neighborhood, and the principal idea is to drop an interior staircase to the garden level and make use of that level. And the way I occupy the home right now is I live upstairs and then I rent out the downstairs. I'm going to flip-flop that. I've got 2 children and 1 on the way, and want to create more of a family situation downstairs, building out as a 2-level unit. And as part of that, I'm seeking a rear yard variance. I got an idea from bulletin number 5 to a permitted obstruction as to what might be allowed. I've got right now a laundry room projecting off the back of the house and want to create a situation where the upstairs unit as a rental will have an upstairs deck and the lower unit at 2 levels will have the backyard. Again, it's been done down the block at 122, 124, and it's also been done across the street at 153, 155 8th Avenue. So it wasn't an original idea. In terms of the 5 points, referencing, the first is, I guess, the variance is around open space. I guess conceptually I believe that I'm maintaining open space as the decks become part of the open space for the yard, and if I understand the usability notion, it's actually much more accessible that there be an upper deck for the upper flat, and the lower flat will get the access to the backyard. I can elaborate more on that. I've got a longer write-up. The second point is about impact to neighbors. I reached out to the neighbors in addition to the required notices. One of the neighbors is actually here, my next door neighbor Carrie Biles, and she had a request that came up at the last minute. So I've made a modification to the plan, and that is her request was on the south side, where it faces their property. At the second level, I had a deck that wrapped to the south, and she asked that I make the portion closest to their property non-habitable, that I make the railing cut off at the setback so that that portion of the deck would not be usable close to their property, which is absolutely fine by me. And the... it's a setback on that side. On the north side, virtually anything I'm doing in the backyard is not actually visible to the neighbor, as they've got a laundry room that projects and a set of staircases that project that will block them from seeing anything that I do. In terms of the property right question, number 3, that other people are doing in the neighborhood, as I mentioned, I got the idea from other properties in the neighborhood. It's not an original idea. And I've identified within a few blocks at least 15 other properties that make use of substantially more of the backyard than I'm planning to use. I will be going beyond the 45% guideline, but still well above the 25% minimum. There are, many, many properties in the neighborhood that have done similar things. Directly across the street, they've got a, large secondary home or cottage in the backyard. And I've got 14 or 15 other examples if those are relevant, and I can just supply a hard copy of that if you'd like.
Thank you. So was one of those 122 8th Avenue?
Yeah, 122 8th Avenue is where I got the idea for the project from. They seem to have sought a different variance. They didn't use a permitted obstruction to back up the backyard, but they eliminated open space for the upstairs unit, which is not something I wanted to do. They have merely like what I would call Romeo and Juliet balcony at the upper level, and then the lower level they dropped a staircase, as I'm planning to do, that has the backyard, but I didn't think it was a good treatment.
They didn't obtain a rear yard variance then?
They didn't obtain a rear yard variance, no. They must have obtained a variance for the open space at the second level. Because
are you sure that there was a variance on the property, or
I would think there would need to be, because I thought you need to have open space at every level, and previously I assume there would have been access to the backyard. I'm not sure what they did as far as that goes, but that was one of the properties I got the idea from. The idea being dropping the staircase, making the lower two levels more of a single-family home, and making the upstairs a rental flat with outdoor space.
I mean, I think the goal of having the open space directly accessible from each level is a good one, but do you need to extend so far into the rear yard? I mean, and note that the property depth here, this is not a shallow lot. I mean, compared to the other properties that we've been seeing today, I think the depth on this property is 120 feet.
Yeah, it's a standard 120 lot. That's right.
Yeah. Well, the standard lot in San Francisco would be 25 by 100 feet, so this is actually larger than
the apologies.
And so then there was really no significant front setback here. That's often what we would see if on a larger lot. The justification of hardship is that maybe the building is set back further. It could be a historic resource. Maybe there's some other circumstances here. And you said that the 45% was a guideline. It's not a guideline. It's a code requirement. You can reduce it depending on the condition of the adjacent properties, but in no case can you go less than 25%. So that's why we're here for a variance. It's not a guideline. It's a code requirement, and you're seeking an exception to that requirement. We had discussed, staff had discussed with you some concerns that I had had regarding the layout, and I think you had tried to address those, but I just don't see how the goals of the project couldn't be exceeded or met by reducing the depth somewhat, and I was disappointed that we didn't see a project that reduced the overall depth. And what you're showing here is the residential design guidelines, which are guidelines for code-complying projects, and this is not a code-complying project. What you're seeking is something above and beyond what the code allows. So while it may be acceptable from a residential design guideline, those are the guidelines. Those are what are seeking, and that's all with the assumption that you're not encroaching into the required rear yard.
A couple things. One, the project sort of cascades in terms of requirements, and I did have a lot of feedback with Kanishkin trying to accommodate both residential design and a couple comments I heard from you. One of the challenges becomes trying to get the open space at the upper level, you know, to get beyond the 125-foot requirement, including the setback. You need to push back a certain amount. So it's sort of what happens to me is it sort of cascades, if you can understand. I try to get to that open space requirement at the upper level, and that really requires me to get at least 12 feet out at the mezzanine level, what I'll call the middle level, to accommodate that, including a 3-foot landing when you open the door to get to the deck. And then at that point, I thought it was, you know, both more attractive and a softer look to have it cascade at the garden level. I could back everything up a foot or two if that's closer. I felt I was pretty close to the permitted obstruction guideline, which was, you know, allowing 12 foot back on the property, and everything at the garden level was actually below the fence line, so it's not visible to the neighbors, and, you know, the level above would be, but I've got the setback, and that is at the typical 12 foot extension under the permitted obstruction.
And typically under section 136C25, when you're doing the 12 foot pop out and it's two stories, it's required to be set back 5 feet from each of the sides, and so you are doing, you know, the two-story.
Yeah, and I guess the reason if I didn't explain that,
of the existing laundry.
Yes, it would be a substantial demolition at the upper level. That's actually quite a finished laundry room that does actually have a washer, dryer, and pantry, and so forth. And then it does abut the neighbors, a similar structure. So it seemed to me, something of a hardship to have to tear it all down, and it didn't seem that would add any benefit to the neighbors of the neighborhood to tear that whole structure down.
And the compromise you reached with the adjacent neighbor to the south was removing the portion of the roof deck that is accessible from the second story.
Exactly. And Carrie's here. She can comment on it. She's in the audience. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's take public comment next. Thank you.
Okay.
Is there any public comment on this item? Again, we're on item number 9, 176 8th Avenue.
Just say your
name for the record when you approach to speak.
You will have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay, good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Carrie Biles, and I'm a managing director with Skidmore, Owings & Merrill. I'm also the property owner of 180 8th Avenue. And as the president of the HOA, I'm also representing the owners of 182 8th Avenue. And I have looked carefully at the design and studied the code, and am aware that it is a design that is not code compliant, that they are requesting this variance. And it's my professional opinion, as well as my personal opinion, that what is being proposed is reasonable, with the condition that the part of the building that encroaches in the 5-foot setback from our property line be designated as unoccupiable, that somehow that be written into the variance so that some future property owner would not put a occupiable balcony in that area, since it's immediately adjacent to our bedrooms, and we'd like some visual and acoustic separation. We also have probably one of the smallest backyards in the neighborhood. We have very little daylight. So if some alternate form of visual and acoustic separation were provided, such as a taller fence or a solid railing, it would block daylight into our backyard. So Mr. Takara has been very reasonable in discussing this with us. The additional 3 feet he's asking for at his ground level is not visible to us from our yard and doesn't pose a problem for us. So with that one stipulation, both property owners of 180 and 182 support the requested variance.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item, item number 9, 176 8th Avenue? Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. Appreciate the project sponsor's willingness to work with the adjacent property owner to address those concerns. I'm not totally convinced that the full extent of the variance is justified. Appreciate the additional arguments made by the project sponsor. I will not make a decision at this time, but I will further consider those arguments and the changes that were just proposed today, and have a decision within 2 weeks, a final decision on whether or not to grant the variance or to have modifications to the project. So again, public hearing is closed. Matter is taken under advisement. And we can move on to the next item, item number 10.
Item number 10, case number 2012.1521B, 210 Rose Street, rear yard, variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here?
Yes, I am.
Would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, sir.
These are for somebody else. Do you need the photo of our posting?
That'd be great.
And the declaration.
Thank you.
Let me turn off my phone. Thank you for your indulgence while I turn off my phone.
No problem.
My name is John Winder. I would like to thank you all for allowing me to present our case. One note before we get started, the property is listed as 210 Rose, and in fact, the property owner lives at 210 and a half Rose. The building is a two-unit building, and it was divided into 210 and 210 and a half. The subject, I don't know if you could see this very well. You can see that, excuse me, you can see that the property originally was this entire lot, and it was subdivided into two lots so that each building on the lot had its own property. This this was done a couple of years ago and resulted in a in the property, well, let's do it like this then. This being the subject property, as you can see, the building, the Rose is on this side, and the property takes up all of this and leaves this small backyard. This line here represents the deck below, so that the usable rear yard is really just this area here. When the When the property was originally subdivided and granted non-conforming legal status for the lot, the both units' open rear yard became this rear yard. The only way for the upper unit, which is the one that I represent, the client who owns that upper unit, can access that is to go through unit 210. At the time of the division, that seemed to be acceptable. Now they've sold down below, and the relationship, although friendly, is a little awkward for him to go to the rear yard to get access to laundry, which is available from the rear yard ground floor space under that area. So the awkwardness has kind of led, I believe, to the whole condition of what's the simplest, less intrusive way for him to get from his unit to there, which we explored and came up with this spiral stair. So what we found out was to install that spiral stair, we needed a variance because we'd be encroaching into the rear yard. So this variance application is just simply to give the ability or allow for the client to install this spiral stair from his upper floor deck down to the rear yard so he has direct access, as well as to gain him access to a laundry facility that's on that lower level. If there's any questions, it's as simple as that. If there's any questions.
Thank you. I agree. This is very straightforward. It's a very minor project. I just one question. On the current proposal, at the basement level, it looks like the spiral stair will obstruct the door into the washer-dryer area. Is that correct? I mean, I know there are two doors into the basement level, but...
That's true, and what we're proposing is to move the door.
Okay. So that's... do you have revised plans that show the door relocation, or...?
Well, our goal was that if you'll allow us to do the spiral stair, then when we apply for the actual building permit, we would move the stair. And I assume that that would be a condition of approval.
You'd move the door at the time. So you'd move the door, not the stair.
Move the door, correct. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I think it is... Very straightforward. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 10, 210 Rose Street. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, knowing that it's an existing legal non-complying lot, provides direct access from the dwelling unit to the open space in the rear yard, as well as to the other facilities at the basement level, which are otherwise inaccessible for the subject unit. Again, public hearing is closed. Inclined to grant. Move on to the next item, item number 11.
Item 11, case number 2012.0923V, 3820 24th Street, rear yard modification, variance sought. You're the sponsor, sir. You have 5 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Reza, SIA Consulting. The project before you is a proposed three-unit building, new construction over a commercial unit in Noy Valley. And I'd like to show you make a few points in regards to this project. If I could have the overhead. Here I have stipulated the pattern of a mid-block open space. We're asking for a rear yard variance, and this is the subject property right out here. So what we have, the excess that you see there is all the homes that, the buildings that actually do not meet the required rear yard rules and regulations. So I counted those on that block, and I came up with 12 homes out of 22 buildings that are sitting in this block do not meet the required rear yard, which is over 55% of the homes in that block that do not comply. In addition, you know, what we are trying to show here is that, you know, we are not disturbing the pattern of the mid-block open space, and the reason that is that the building adjacent to us on the right side also has a projection that I'm not sure whether they went through a variance or not, but it is there. And I'd like to show you another diagram, which shows actually where we are asking to have the encroachment into the 25% line. And the shaded gray is actual grade. So the building is almost buried, you know, for most part, other than half a floor underground. I went ahead and put a fence line at the back. Actually, there you go. This is the existing 6-foot fence at the back of the building that shows you the relation of that level that we are trying to extend into the last 25% of the yard. So as you can see, you know, we are not really impacting light and ventilation, adjacent properties, light and ventilation. In addition, what this deck is going to allow us to have, the extension that we are asking gives us two things. One is additional square footage to the commercial. The lot is a 25-foot wide lot. The owner is aiming to put a hardware store at this location. We are right now requesting to have about 1,916 square feet of commercial space. And by not granting this, you know, we would lose almost 540 square feet, which is going to take us to about 1,300 square foot, 1,380 square feet of commercial space, which after you place all the circulations and bathrooms and storages and all that, you know, we're going to be ending up with a space that is not really viable, and we are afraid that it may not be a successful space and be one of those that you see around town constantly vacant. So we feel that this addition is going to be important to the viability of the commercial unit. The second aspect of this, you know, the request that we're asking is that, you know, it will provide an open space about almost 500 square feet to the next level up, you know, which is the next residential unit. So it will provide a private roof deck to that unit, which otherwise, you know, if this is not granted, they would have to go down through stairs into a dark condition, because we have already our neighbor is extending into it, so they're going to be facing a blank wall on the right side, and also it's not really going to be attached to the unit. So we feel that you know, the private deck that we are proposing there, you know, is also going to enhance the quality of the open space, you know, for that unit. The owner has actually done a great job, you know, reaching out to the neighbors, has gone door to door and communicated with the neighborhood, and he's available, and some of the neighbors are here in support of the project as well. Okay. I'm here if you have any questions.
Thank you. And so there are three residential units in the building. There's one on the second floor, which will have access, private access to that roof deck on the proposed extension.
Yes.
Then there are two units, which are two stories each, and they will have direct access to roof decks, to private roof decks. So each of the three units will have private usable open space?
Yes, each of them will have about 500 square feet of private open space.
Which is in excess of what the code requires.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's public comment on this item.
Thank you.
Item number 11, 3820 24th Street. It's a rear yard modification request. Any public comment on this item? You can please step forward, and you'll be given 3 minutes to speak.
Hi, my name is Brian Kendall. I'm the owner of 3820 24th Street. Our request for a rear yard modification began a year ago when Joanna Metzger and I purchased the lot at 3820 24th Street. The first thing I did was to speak with neighborhood groups such as Friends of Noe Valley, the Noe Valley Association, a benefits group, and the Noe Valley Merchants Group. I'm an urban planner for the city of Oakland, so the first thing I knew was to do was to reach out to the community. I also spoke to over 50 merchants by walking door to door and 50 residents. Last week, I sent you almost 50 letters, petition letters that were for the approval of the rear yard modification. What all those groups told me is that they wanted a retail tenant instead of parking. The most popular suggestion was a hardware store. To that end, I contacted independent local stores such as Cliffs, Poppenhausen, and Brownies. I've been in discussions with Matt Rogers, owner of Poppenhausen and West Portal. He and all the store owners mentioned that they needed at least 2,000 square feet of ground floor retail space, plus an additional 500 square feet of mezzanine space in the back. Last week, I forwarded Matt Rogers' email to you, and he stated all this in his email. To provide 2,000 square feet of retail space, I needed to go back an additional 20 feet past the 75% line. As you know, to achieve this, there are three criteria to meet under Section 134 to be granted a rear yard modification, and I believe I have met all of them. The first condition requires that I have residential units, which I do, and that I provide an equivalent space elsewhere and that it be more accessible. I have put as Raisa mentioned, I've put a 500-square-foot deck in the back plus two 500-square-foot decks on the top floor. This total is 1,500 square feet. Under planning code, I'm only required to provide 240 square feet of outdoor open space, so I'm providing six times more open space than allowed. And in actuality, the 1,500 square feet is larger than any yard in the backyard of any of the 22 properties. The second item is that I've asked for is that the structure not block any views and light. Since the lot slopes up 9 feet towards the back from the front of the property, the back of the retail space is only going to rise up out of the ground 8 feet. This is 2 feet below an existing 10-foot fence. Raisa mentioned 6-foot, but it's actually a 10-foot fence, separating the property from the neighbors, so it will not block any views or light or air. The third requirement asks if it will adversely affect the interior open space formed by the rear yards. As Raisa showed, 55% of the structures in this block already encroach in some way into their required rear yards. Also, the structure basically acts as an elevated deck. There are many raised decks in this block, and this is not any qualitatively different than the others. Besides meeting the rear yard modification test, there are economic benefits to this project. The additional 500 square feet of space will provide more jobs, according to Matt Rogers, and it will provide 25% more sales tax and property tax.
That was your time. Just wrap it up.
Thank you.
Does any public comment on this item? Again, item number 1138 20 24th Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thanks. Good morning. My name is Christelle Vieux. I live in Noe Valley, and I'm a student at CCSF on Valencia. So I have been following this project, and I viewed the plans before. I'm pretty impressed by the quality of this project and the fact that there's a retail component on it. And I love that there is no parking, especially because I'm a bicycle rider. I follow architecture projects and development projects in the area, and I'm not sure I've ever seen any project without parking that is that great. And so I think the developer did a great job for this transit-only project. Also, Noe Valley really needs more retail, especially since this kind of businesses often provide entry-level jobs, which is great for people like me that are in college. And overall, I mean, that's a great project, and I'm here to support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? If there are multiple speakers, you can always line up against the wall and expedite the process.
You also get 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Julie Leveno, and I am here to support this rear yard modification project. I work and live in Noe Valley, and Brian Kendall introduced himself to me last week when he was going door to door, and he explained the project to me, and I was extremely impressed at the organization of it, the well-thought-out idea of it. I am in very big support of larger retail space in this area. I know Noe Valley very well. It's always a growing area. We need things like, absolutely, like the shop that he is, the hardware store. We don't have one of those. He's also really well thought out of the residential areas on it with the rooftop decks. I am convinced that his plan meets the three criteria, so I'm just here to say that I'm in full support of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next member of the public, please.
You also have 3 minutes.
Hi. My name is Adriana, and I'm here to support Mr. Kendall's project.
which is being warranted a rear rear modification, and his project on 3820 and 24th Street. And I've been shown the plans. I'm along with another neighbors and the project area, and I agree that the modification will not affect and have another adverse effect on the rear yard, open space in the interior block. And I also don't see how will it block any views of light or air, since it rises only 8 feet above the ground. So also the 500 square foot deck and is creating in the space of the jar is also much more usable space. Since the project meets the three criteria, I'm here to support Mr. Kellen's project. So,
thank you.
Thanks.
Next, please.
Good morning. My name is Jason Wright. I live at 3829 24th Street. I've been a resident of San Francisco for 23 years, and I just wanted to come here and support Mr. Kendall's request for the rear yard modification. He was gracious enough to meet with some of the neighbors, and when I went over the plans with him, it seemed like a wonderful project. I love the fact that the residents of this development will actually have a private outdoor space. I really support that. And in going over the plans with him, it seems that, as he explained, that he does meet the three criteria for the planning code, the codes allowing for the modification to be granted. I think in particular, it will be good for the development would be good for Noe Valley and in general San Francisco, through creating neighborhood employment and increased tax revenues. And so I'm just here to support Mr. Kendall's project and hope you approve.
Thank you. Next, please.
Good morning. I'm Sara Sanchez, and I live near the project in Noe Valley. I want to support the request for backyard modification for the plan at 3820 24th Street. I've looked at the drawings, and I believe that the proposal will not have an adverse impact on the backyard because of the open space. Many buildings, especially along 24th Street, already encroach into their backyard. And I also believe that this should be approved because it will not block any light or view since the structure only rises up eight feet out of the ground. And, well, the architect showed me that the project is creating six times more open space than required. And the decks that are being created are more usable and accessible spaces than the original backyard area. So I really think it's a great project. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
Good morning. My name is AJ Long. I live in the project area and I work in the neighborhood. Mr. Kendall and I met a week ago while he was doing outreach to the community. I was impressed that he was going door to door on 24th Street to talk to members of the community to educate them on his project and what a rear yard modification was. I've been involved in my neighborhood community group for a number of years now, and I've seen other projects come into the neighborhood. What I haven't seen is the kind of effort made by a builder to build consensus for a project. Brian and I spoke for a while, and he showed me the plans and how he believed he met all the qualifications for a rear yard variance. I am convinced that he does meet the qualifications and hope that you approve the request as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
Hi. My name is Emerson Stone. I live across the street from the project with AJ. I'm also here to support the modification request. I think this is a great project. I think it's well designed. I'm really excited about the hardware store, especially with the 15-foot ceilings. I think it's going to be great. And I think Mr. Kendall's been very mindful, as far as the community is concerned, and he's really thought it through with, as far as meeting these criteria to make it a pleasant space for us. So I'm here to support that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
Hello, my name is Miriam Fox, and I live in the neighborhood, and I lend my support to Mr. Kendall's request for the rear yard modification, and it does allow the 500 square feet of extra real retail space in the back, which, again, he mentioned that majority of the, or at least 50% of the other buildings on the block do go past their 75%, and so I think that it, you know, makes sense for him to be the request granted. And I did some research on the NC zoning, and it seemed like this is exactly what's in line with the purpose of that zoning. So it seems like, you know, no-brainer, really. Like, it's, it seems like a really great project, and so I urge you to approve the modification request.
Thank you. Next, please. Are you checking on the status of your decision letter?
I got it yesterday. Thank you. My name is Nadine Greiner, and I used to live in this neighborhood, which is why I got the notification. And having just been through this process myself, I reached out to Brian and went through the variance application and the three criteria. And it just seems to make sense to me visually, but also functionally, too. So through this process, I've got to know Brian a little bit and a little bit more about the process. Having just been through it, I know that it works. So, a variance isn't something that's automatically applied. It's something that has to be proven. And so I hope you approve it. Thank you.
Next, please.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Hein. I live around the corner from the proposed project. I'm here to support the request for a backyard modification at 3820 in 24th Street. The builder of the project, Mr. Kendall, showed me the plans for the modification to the backyard. It seems the project meets all three of the criteria to be approved for a backyard modification. I'm also happy that the modification is for extension of a retail space and not for a parking garage. The retail space will create entry-level jobs for people my age. So please approve the modification request. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
Hello, my name is Janice Brown, and I live at Noe Valley on Church. I'm speaking today in support of the request for a rear yard modification. When I first saw the proposal for the yard modification, I was concerned about how it might affect the privacy of those sharing the rear yard open space of the interior block. I realized that many of my neighbors already had decks in their rear yards and that the request is really no different than if it were an elevated deck. Once I understood that the plans, I realized that the extension of the retail space only raises 8 feet out of the ground. I feel that the proposal is a modest encroachment into the rear yard space and should be approved. The architect, Raz, consulted, clearing up many of my questions and concerns, and the developer is having 3 500 square foot decks, which for many is greater than the code. Thank you, and I hope you can approve this modification.
Thank you. Next, please.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Curtis Metzgar. I'm Joanna Metzgar's brother. I'm here as a builder. I've been a cabinet maker and carpenter contractor in the Bay Area for the last 30 years plus, and I'm here to show support for this rear yard modification request. I'm familiar with the city's NC code requirements and with the larger goals and requirements of the city's planning department. In my opinion, it's not common to see a plan more solid than this one. It's a building proposal that not only complies with the city's goals of increasing density, transit use, housing, and commercial development, but does so in a way that delivers a great residential experience. The construction plans are exemplary. The design features are both modern yet complementary to the adjacent buildings and San Francisco's light commercial residential style. The residential units provide a spacious indoor and outdoor living space, and the commercial floor is large enough to satisfy the demands of the sort of businesses which could serve the community and therefore profit in this type of neighborhood, such as the hypothetical hardware store. From my understanding, Brian and the architect have created the additional space for this and requires a variance due to conscientious interviewing of the city's small business owners and considering their needs. As everyone else has stated, this modification meets all of the criteria for acceptance, but what I came here to emphasize is that the reason it's being requested is because Brian and Joanna are attempting to comply with the spirit as well as the letter of the planning codes and laws. This modification will enable better use of this lot for all involved by providing more space for residential tenants, serviceable retail space for the neighborhood, privacy for residential neighbors, and sustainable growth for the city.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, please.
Hi. My name is Susie Mazel. Before my time begins, I actually have a question. I'm a little confused. Is if they're requesting a variance or a modification? Because I'm hearing two different things.
It's a rear yard modification under Section 134E, and so there are three criteria.
Right, which I, okay.
But they're subject to the procedures for variance, which is why we're having a public hearing on it. So I appreciate that there's that confusion, and I can see how that would be the case. But it's not the five findings that are for the variance under Section 305. They're actually three separate findings.
Okay.
And so you don't have to provide the arguments for hardship.
Right, right. Okay.
Thank you. Now you can begin your public comment now.
Okay. I live directly behind this project, so I'm glad that actually all of these people came here today to talk about this project, because this is the same way the entire project has been, sort of overwhelming force against the neighborhood and the people whose backyards, no one who was standing here, none of them is their backyard. This is a backyard variance. All of the people, and I have emails and letters from them, they couldn't either be here today because they work or because they don't want their name known and they're timid, but I'm sort of the spokesperson for them. And there are 13 of us who are very upset about what this backyard variance is looking to do. I've lived in this property for 22 years. And I appreciate the fact that they want to build a commercial space, but on the rest of that entire block, the other commercial spaces, there's a bar, a shoe store, a bank, a stained glass window place, a hair care products. None of them go back as far as they are proposing to do, nor do they go as high. There's one backyard that I think that's one of the ones they're talking about. It's raised a little bit, but I think it might go up. I actually brought some pictures. I don't know. I'm not that slick with this stuff as they are, I guess. But
you just turn it face up, yeah.
Okay, so in fact, that's right now, that's our view from our home. So that's, talk about light and view being sort of demolished, but from what I can tell, this is the space they're talking about. And I put an arrow on that. A neighbor, you can see that lattice fence. The neighbor that had sold them this property had put that up because he was parking trucks and boats in the lot. And so he put that up to try and hide that. But you can see it's a lattice fence. Light still gets through to our plants. And all of the people, the 13 of us, we all live in the backside of our houses. So our bedroom is back there. Our family room is back there. Our kitchen is back there, where we spend all of our time in our house. And so where that arrow is, from what we can tell, and I've had several people, professionals, look at this, is about where they're talking about putting one of their decks. The other decks talk about lack of privacy. I mean, our whole house, let alone our backyard, will be impacted by this.
Thank you. Have you had the ability to have any conversations with the project sponsor to discuss your concern?
I've talked with, I've talked with the city planner, and I even went so far as to talk to his supervisor, because the city planner, very, very nice in explaining things, but has been very much pro this. I don't know if he's friends with them. I don't know what the issue is, but he's been very all along sort of discouraging us. We were going to do a discretionary review. We were sort of discouraged, like, you can do it, but it's sort of going to be rubber stamped. So we just sort of were very dejected and very upset about this. And again, by seeing all these people here today, you can sort of tell what we're dealing with, the overwhelming way that they're sort of trying to go about this. And I have emails and letters from some of the people if you want them.
Yeah, I'll take those. Thank you. And so the property, your property is on Elizabeth, and the subject property is to the south.
It's directly, so as you can see, so
when the photo that you showed of the view, was that looking south?
So we're... That's my view, looking out my kitchen. Here's another view looking down from my kitchen.
But your property is on Elizabeth, correct?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, so then you're looking south, which explains why mostly at the rear of your building, because that's where most of the sunlight is at the rear of your building.
Yeah, so this building will block, like, midday. Like, this picture was taken about 6 p.m. yesterday, in fact. So you can see it's sort of shaded by some trees on the right of us. But on the midday sun, that all gets blocked. And we have all sorts of roses and plants there. And we spend a lot of time in our backyard, let alone our bedroom is down there.
Okay. Let me just want to see the rear elevation at the... sponsor provided. So it looks like what they show as the location for the, I think you're about right where that fire escape is, looks like would be the level of the
exactly. That's pretty high.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Is any other member of the public to speak on this item? We're on item number 1138
24th Street. Yeah. Hi. My name is Joanna Metzger. I co-own this building with Brian. We also have two young sons. We're San Franciscans. We're public employees, and we basically pooled our life savings and our retirement to buy this building to create a family business and support our family. We have worked hard to make this project as transparent as possible and to open the channels of communication and dialogue with our neighbors. To this end, we did have the pre-application meeting. No concerns about the modification were raised at that meeting. After that meeting, two neighbors contacted Rick Crawford to express some concerns, and we changed the plans to comply with every single concern on that list. In preparation for the 312 notice, we sent a detailed email to everyone who attended the pre-app meeting, and that letter outlined every aspect of the design, citing planning codes, fire regulations, and we did comparisons with other buildings in the neighborhood. We also offered to meet with anyone who had questions and also have the architect available to meet, and nobody at that time took us up on the offer. After about a month of silence on the actual day of the 312 notice, when it was set to expire, we were surprised to get an email from Susie, who just spoke. And she asked for more explanation on the rear yard modification. Her main concern seemed to be her privacy. So Brian immediately responded, one with another explanation of the modification. Also explaining that the height of the commercial space requested to be set back in the modification is actually lower than the current fence between the two properties. Therefore, it poses no loss of privacy. Our request for the year, we also tried to explain that this rear yard modification is almost identical to that of the neighbor at 3814 24th Street, and also that the elevated deck plan for the first residence could be built with or without the modification. So the modification itself is not, you know, for that deck. So if that's the privacy concern, it's not really part of the modification. Brian also reiterated the invitation to meet with Susie or any other neighbors with the architect to talk about alternatives or ideas and to go over the plans and explain things more fully. And he also offered to build a new 10-foot fence between the properties to provide landscaping and to include frosted windows. So, you know, anything we can do to try to mitigate the neighbors' concerns, we're happy to do. We're a bit of a loss.
Thank you. If you could wrap up very briefly.
Sure. We just believe this rear yard variance meets and exceeds all of the criteria. We hope you'll approve it. We also will continue to be open to talking with neighbors and working towards any resolution on concrete issues that they have.
So you said that the deck could be built without the rear yard modification. Which deck were you referring to?
The one off the back.
For the second floor unit?
Yeah, for the first floor unit.
I don't see how it's within the required rear yard. I don't see how it could be built without the rear yard modification. That's the whole project here. So I'm confused by what you're saying because it's located within the last 25%.
If there wasn't any, if the commercial space didn't go out below and it would just build a deck, you couldn't do that.
No, you'd have to. I mean, would have to have open space for that unit, so it would be stairs to the rear yard, and the deck would have to be a grade. The deck couldn't be any higher than 3 feet above grade.
I see. Okay, well, I'm wrong there. I apologize. Okay.
And so are you willing to have... So who's... I mean, I guess I'm hearing many people speak on this and kind of being owners or claiming to be... Is there a singular point of contact for project sponsor on this case?
I believe the sponsor is the architect, and he's got the facts. I apologize.
Okay.
I do co-own the building with Brian. Brian's an urban planner, so he takes care of everything.
Okay.
He kind of manages it, but we're partners and we have a family.
Right. Because I mean, we're going through public comment, and I'm hearing, you know, owners and relatives of owners and things like that speaking during this public comment. I think that maybe causes some confusion, and I can see where the neighbor was expressing some concerns about this overwhelming force. I mean, there was a lot of public testimony on this and support, and we appreciate that. But, it's just a little confusing when everyone's getting up and kind of has some relation to the project sponsorship. So is there one person that we can have as a point of contact that can have further discussion with neighbors to address their concerns? I mean,
Brian, right, yeah. Brian?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, well, let's see if there's any other public comment, and then we'll have a rebuttal that Brian can speak to.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other public comment?
Go ahead and approach. Hi, yes, I have public comment. Hi, my name's Mitz, and I live in the neighborhood in Noe Valley, and I just want to say that I've been watching the notices go up for this project over the past month. My neighbors and I were wondering what the variance was about, so we called the project sponsor. And he answered a lot of questions about the size and shape of the extension of the retail space. We were shown how the rear yard modification request met the three criteria, to gain approval in Section 134 of the Planning Code. I also think that it's a well-designed project. I applaud the fact that the builder is willing to do a retail space instead of parking, and I also appreciate that he's willing to work with the neighbors on this. So I'm a neighbor that's in favor of this project. Okay?
Thank you. Next, please.
Good morning. My name is Ellen Jenkins. I'm a neighbor in Noe Valley, and I just want to let you know that I oppose this project, this backyard modification. This 21-foot encroachment into the backyard, I think, will have a significant impact in the light and air. For the
especially backyard neighbors in that block. It will adversely affect the interior open space, contrary to the requirement of Section C of that code. One thing that I've been confused about listening to the project manager is calling it 8 feet above the grade. By my calculations, it's actually at least 12 feet above, and that's significantly higher than the raised deck next door that they're showing. The raised deck next door is well below the fence line. The fence is 5.5 feet, not 6. And the 21-foot addition is going to be at least 7 feet from what we can tell. It's very difficult to tell, but at least 7 feet above the fence, only 7 feet away from the back of their lot. So I just wanted to clear that up because it is a little bit confusing. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there, do you reside on Elizabeth, ma'am?
No.
No, okay. But you're in the neighborhood? Okay, thank you. Any other members of the public to speak on this item, item number 11 for 3820?
Yes, hi, my name is Owen Linsmeyer. I own the property adjacent to the west of the empty lot where they're proposing this building, and I support the variance.
Okay, thank you. Any other public testimony regarding this item, item number 11? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Reza Koshnevi San SIA Consulting again. So one thing I'd like to point out is that our grade, we're getting questioned as to how far above grade. And what I'd like to show you is that these numbers that you see, you know, all the way down that dashed line, those are all out of the survey map that was prepared by a licensed surveyor. We did not do the field measurements, and this is a surveyor that has been doing work in this town for the last 20 years. So we are confident those numbers are correct. You know, now, and the way that we are measuring the height, the 8 feet we are talking about is to the finished floor of the deck. So you see a little bit more massing at the back. That's in result of the parapet that is 42-inch high. You know, we could reduce the size of that to, you know, to bring some additional light. I'm available. Also, the owner wanted to make
a... And this is a... the lot is upsloping, but laterally it is level, right?
So yes.
Okay. Thank you. Project sponsor?
Yeah, hello. Again, my name is Brian Kennedy. I'd like to talk to a couple points. One is, the reason I have so many people here is I literally have spent, I spent 3 days, 8 hours a day, going door to door to apartment buildings, all my neighbors, all the merchants in the Noe Valley neighborhood. I went to the Noe Valley Association, the Noe Valley Merchants Group, and the Friends of Noe Valley. All of these people have been 100% supportive of my project. Again, I reached out to Susie on April 2nd, the day before the 312 notice went out. I never heard from her. 6 hours on May 3rd before the notice was to expire, I heard from her, and that was the first time that she expressed concern about the rear yard modification. And she made no concrete effort to explain what her concern was other than privacy. I sent her a lengthy email back stating that the fence between our properties is 10 feet. I measured it. It's not 6 feet. It's 6 feet plus a 4-foot trellis on top. The back of the retail space rises out of the ground 8 feet, so the fence will completely block it. I have offered Susie to completely rebuild the fence, to make the glass windows in the back of the retail space fixed and frosted glass windows. I've offered her a free landscaper and free design assistance worth about $10,000. I've also told her that I was going to be soundproofing the building and that all the windows would be double glazed. I also agreed to switch the living room dining room combination from the back of the building to the front of the building, and I've put the master bedroom off the deck, thus greatly limiting the idea that it could be used.
Thank you. Could you complete the discussion?
My last thing is Susie agreed to the landscaping, and yet she's never offered to meet with us. After I've offered about a number of times to meet with her and her architect, and yet she's agreed to the landscaping. So I'm a little confused about how to proceed forward with mitigation efforts on her part to ensure that she is that her privacy is maintained, which I'm happy to do.
In the outreach that you did to the neighbors, can you describe what outreach was provided to those on Elizabeth?
So Susie claimed to have a committee of 13 members. I never heard from these 13 members. When I sent the email on April 2nd to Susie and Bob Coleman, they said, can we share this with our community members? And I said, please do. Everything in this 5-page letter explains why city code allows me to do this. Transit rich corridor, retail space, no parking. I went over every issue why the city wants this project. It just didn't drop out of the air. So assuming she shared it with her neighbors, which I told her to do. I also emailed Owen Linsemeyer, my neighbor to the left. I talked to the owner of ShoeBiz. I talked to all 5 neighbors to the right. All my neighbors to the right didn't have a problem with the variance, and my neighbor Owen Linsemeyer to the left of the property.
Door to door to properties in the neighborhood. Did you go door to door to those on Elizabeth?
No, because I just was assuming that she had taken that the people on Elizabeth were opposed to it according to her, and that she was going to share this email with them.
When was that email?
That email, and I can get you a copy of it. That email was sent April 1st. So it was sent 2 days before the 312 notice was sent out. And that was an effort to kind of preempt any questions they had, because when you get these plans in the mail, you're like, what are these plans?
Okay. Eva, can you hand me the emails that were sent?
I've had many emails, and I don't know if I've turned in that particular one, but I'm happy to send it to you. What I sent you were the emails from Matt Rogers of Pappenhausen. I sent you the emails from Owen Linsmeyer. I sent you my emails to the neighbors at 3814.
So there are 2 emails here, one from Dan and Julia Ponce at 3814 24th Street. 3814.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Wayne Yamamoto?
Yeah, Wayne Yamamoto lives next door.
Next door.
But all of the neighbors next door, you mean people who are opposed?
Yes.
The irony is that the people that are Wayne and Julia, if they're opposed, I called them. They never brought up the modification once with me via email or by phone call. And the fact is that they too have a rear yard variance that is identical to mine.
At 3814.
Yes. So I'm not sure why they would be against a project which is my project is identical to theirs.
And then there is another letter of opposition from a property on Elizabeth. Okay, thank you. All right, thank you for your comments. So, Susie,
thank
if you could come forward, please, and just maybe briefly address some of the communications you've had with the project sponsor.
There's one of actually. Let me show a picture's worth 1,000 words. That's the property adjacent to him that he's saying will be exactly like his. I don't think so. This is this backyard. It's like sunken in. If we're in our backyard, we can't see them, and they can't see us. In fact, this is Julia, and I don't know her partner's name, her husband's name. That's their backyard. So they will be greatly impacted by this towering.
So was it... do you know how tall that lattice is? Is that the 10 feet to the top of the lattice?
The lattice I don't know, like I say, that was the person who sold the property put that up to hide his parking
And
lot.
Then,
so
and what,
that actually might be probably 8 feet or so.
And where is the photo taken from?
My kitchen.
Your kitchen, which is on what level?
One. We have a downstairs and then our kitchen. Our kitchen, our living room, sort of our where we live is our bedroom is on the downstairs, like ground level.
Okay.
So what they're talking about is actually even going to be taller than our kitchen. So, you know, and I'm all for the commercial space, and, you know, he's bringing people, again, nobody who's either right next door or whose backyards. But he's talking about an additional, I think, the architect said 540 extra square feet for commercial space. And I'm sorry, but if this is about greed and profit, when this is about our privacy and our backyards and our resale, then I don't even think he has a leg to stand on.
Well, I think one of their arguments, as they stated, was that it was at the request of a hardware store, and this is the size space that they wanted. But I want to just, you know, what's before us here is just this rear yard extension, and it seems the concern would be privacy from that roof deck. Right now, it's set back 5 feet from the rear property line, and, you know, if they were to have a 10-foot high fence, I think that would provide some privacy. But what if the building extended the depth that it did, but that the deck itself was shortened, and so you couldn't walk as far back on that roof deck?
They're talking about this whole property coming up to within 7.5 feet of our, and actually our property line goes back about another 3 feet, so right. You're talking about so 5 feet.
But what I'm suggesting is that right now the deck covers the full depth of the extension, and if the deck itself were to be reduced in depth, maybe the addition is still at the same depth, but that the railing is brought in from that rear building wall, and so that someone could not go to the end of the railing and look into your rear yard. And this is similar to on another case just earlier today. That was a compromise that was made by the project sponsor to reduce, they still have the building expansion, but they reduced the size of the deck. And so part of the area was non-occupiable space, so someone couldn't stand there and look into someone's yard. So I'm wondering if that would be something that you could perhaps discuss with the project sponsor that would reduce the size of the deck. The building expansion itself would stay the same, but that someone could not go to the rear building wall. I mean, it would... I think that would probably address the privacy concerns. And it is a substantial open space, the 500 square feet, and that is, you know, certainly a desirable element, but it is in excess of what the code would require. I mean, it's one of the arguments that they've made is that they're providing more open space than is required, so they could reduce the size of that deck. And I think that would address your privacy concerns.
I'd have to sort of see it, I guess. But okay. A question is, even if the building itself comes back because of the grade it's on, and I asked the planner, you know, why can't they dig down and make it all level? But I guess if they keep the percent there, they get to go up and back, and they don't have to follow the 45-foot. So they're going taller than even they're allowed. But... So I think that commercial space even is just this blank facade that affects our light and privacy.
The planning code does encourage the taller ground story. It makes for more useful retail spaces and viable retail spaces. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think there's always a conflict. You know, we're always looking to balance goals and objectives.
Right.
And so... That's why I'm thinking if you could talk to the project sponsor about perhaps reducing the deck itself. So the extension, which is going to be, you know, below the height of any fence. So I don't see how the extension itself would be as much of a concern as the deck and the privacy from the deck. So I would, at this point, I'm going to close the public hearing. I'm going to take the matter under advisement. Suggest that the parties meet and discuss. And I think the project architect, can you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so I think they're nodding yes, indicating yes.
sorry, what is it to this point of a deck? If you could just speak to that only, thank you. We can't really reopen the public hearing and allow everyone to speak, but.
I'll leave it there. Thank you.
I guess the point that's being lost here is that it is higher than that lattice, is much higher than the fence. It's, when I say 12 feet higher, it's because it adds that 4 foot, I don't know, parapet or whatever you would call it. And so the mass that you would see from those backyards is quite significant.
Okay, so I understand your point. Thank you. So project architect, can you address that there? I think the rear elevations on the plans are, and if you could leave that photo up there.
That arrow, it's going to go all the way up to that arrow, which is well above everything.
Project architect, the rear elevation that you provided for the adjacent building only shows really one set of windows. Can you speak to that? I mean, the plans that I'm looking at, sheet A3.2, the rear elevations, do you have a copy you could put on the overhead? Because I think that photo is kind of important. So on the photo that we saw, there were two levels and two sets of windows, two floors in the same plane, and I only see one set of windows here.
One set of windows. Yeah, that, you know, we didn't actually get a chance to go and measure the neighbor's windows. Location of those windows may not be accurate, but if you look at this line here, that is the line of finished floor of the adjacent deck that was given to us also by the surveyor. And the dashed line is where we are. You know, so it's really our parapet that is.
Can I see that photo? Can I have a copy of those for the record? Thank you. So the your rear elevation is drawn incorrectly.
The neighbor's elevation may be drawn incorrectly. Yeah.
This.
So it appears that you have, this is the finished deck here?
No, this is the finished deck here.
Why are there two stories here and there's only one story here?
That's the finished deck is two stories. Yeah, maybe.
Yes, it's the door there. So this deck is 10, this fence is 10 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 10 feet, so the retail space is going to come up to this level. And then the deck is going to come to about 2 feet. So the deck, the fire-rated wall, which is 42 inches, is going to rise about a foot and a half over that 10-foot deck. So the fact that she has the arrow here it's from a weird angle, but it's basically going to be, the finished deck is going to be above this fence. So that's the finished deck right there.
These plans are, I think, the rear facade is inaccurate for the adjacent property. I think that's causing some concern with the neighbors.
So here.
Sorry, that's good. That's enough. That's enough. You're done. Thank you. Thank you. That's helpful. So I'm going to keep the public hearing open on this item and continue it. We need accurate plans that show the rear elevation, the rear facade of the adjacent building. I think that's causing some confusion. Also, would like you in the next month to meet with the neighbors, any of the concerned parties, to address some of their concerns. I think overall the extension itself is supportable. However, we need accurate plans before we can have a final decision. It's unfair to everyone. You've had tremendous public testimony out here, and we have plans that appears inaccurate. So it seems that we're talking about measurements. There shouldn't be much debate and argument about measurements. So let's get accurate plans, accurate measurements, the heights of the fences. Again, I said that the expansion itself, for the ground floor, for the retail use, I think is appropriate. The concern may be how you can address the privacy concerns of the neighbor by reducing the depth of the deck. We would still need code-complying open space for that unit, but at 500 square feet, it's more than is needed for that unit. So it could be brought further from the rear property line, which I think would address the privacy concerns. So look at that alternative. Meet with the neighbors, see those addresses their concerns, get some accurate plans, and we'll be back with this item. And I've heard all the support from the members of the public. You're free to come back again in a month, but I do have your testimony already. And the next hearing would be on June 26th. So with that, we'll keep the public hearing open. Given direction to the parties, and we'll be back here on June 26th with accurate plans and hopefully some proposal to address the neighbors' concerns. Okay. Thank you, and we can move on to
Item number 12, case number 2013.0147V, 75 Jersey Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? 75 Jersey, would you please approach the mic? You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Yani Suwignyo. I'm representing the client, Farsat Tari. The project is the replacement in kind, existing deck, and then we're requesting the variance per section 134. Our rear yard at the moment is like 29.5 feet. And the rear deck and the stair system predated the zoning code. So to meet the lot coverage and the setback, it's impossible as well as contradictory to the health, safety, and welfare. So and the deck has been deteriorating for over the years, and we've been replacing, you know, a couple of the railing and all. But at this point, we need to replace, demolish the deck completely and build a new one. The same exact plotting.
Thank you. So do you said the evidence, there's no evidence of the permit for the deck and stairs. You're seeking to replace them in kind. I think staff had asked about a firewall, and you said that no firewall was required.
Yeah, we have a meeting with the building inspector, and I include the pre-application review plan with the inspector Jeff Ma, and then I believe I attest a copy of that one, and they don't require the 1 hour wall. As long as we build exactly as the way it is right now.
Even though there's no permit evidence for the stairs, they would allow you to replace them in kind without...
Yes.
Firewall. Okay. And let's see if there's anything else. And the Section 311 notification expired on April 27th. April 17th, and there were no discretionary
reviews. Yeah, no discretionary. And then I have this posting declaration and the photos.
And then there are just 2 units in the building?
Yes, correct, 2 units.
So this is providing usable open space for each of those units as well
as
access
this
to the
year. They will share the ground floor. Okay. And I have a couple of pictures of the rear yard that the staff requesting.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. I think we already had some of those in the file, but we'll take any additional photos.
Oh, yeah. The neighborhood yard, the adjacent lot.
Thank you. Okay, let's see if there's any public comment on the item.
Okay.
Thank you. So is there any comment on item number 12, 75 Jersey Street? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it seems to have existed in this location for quite some time without any adverse impact. Provides usable open space for the 2 dwelling units as well as access to the rear yard. This decision is based upon the arguments that you provided that no firewall is required. If a firewall is ultimately required, it would need to come back for another variance. And I think it would, if a firewall is required, I would be less inclined to grant the variance. So this is based on your statement that no firewall is required.
Yes, according to
the
building inspector.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Let's see. We'll move on to
Item 13, case number 2013.0200V121 Mateo Street, rear yard variance sought. You're the project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Yes. Hello. My name is Henry Canelos. I'm the project sponsor. The properties in this on the street at RH2, however, most of the buildings in this area are a single family. Also, some of the buildings on that street do actually extend as far, if not even further, into the rear yard than the subject property. What we really just want to do, we want to be able to close in the stairs so they can have an interior connection between the upstairs and the downstairs, because right now with inclement weather, you have to go outside, and that would really, it's a quality of life issue. The neighbors to the south, we got a permit for them to do an infill, and they're supportive of this, the cover for the stairs, because primarily that's all this really is all about, is to cover the stairs and to make a weatherproof connection between the upstairs and the downstairs.
Thank you. Seems pretty straightforward. The lot is also shallower than typical. That's only an 81.5-foot lot, and the 311 expired on April 27th. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
No DRs. Okay. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 13 for 121 Mateo Street. Is there any public comment? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on this item, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the lot depth. That's enclosing existing stairs to provide a weatherized connection between the two habitable floors of the building. Also, it is located on the south side of the building, so it will not have shadow impact on the property to the south. We can now move on to the next item.
Item number 14, case number 2012.1494V12 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Jack Verdon, Jack Verdon Architecture. I'm here representing the Homeowner Association at 12 Sanchez Street in San Francisco. I brought some drawings. I hope they fit under here. I guess that's good enough. The initial proposal didn't have some of this information, so I've clouded it to show what's changed. And what I was doing, just adding information. I'm showing the required setback of 36 feet or 45% of the lot. Our lot is a short lot. It's an 80-foot lot. The existing buildings, both on the north and south, you know, no one meets that on these three lots. I think the building to the south of the one shown, so the one just to the south of this lot, does extend 100 feet. The project itself is for this stair. The original building was built in 1908. We don't have any documentation on when this particular item was built, but it is in bad repair. When there was a survey done, in October of 2010, and on that inspection report, it did say that this was in poor condition and needed to be repaired, replaced. They have tried a number of times to do that. It's just, it's time to cut bait and start again here. So in order to do that and meet kind of code-compliant stairs, we are proposing to extend out. Given that this is the existing location of the door that comes out of the unit. This is a three-unit building. On the second unit, there is a family with small children, have one expecting. On the lower unit, it's a couple that are hoping to expect. On the top unit is a single man, but, you know, he's in the market. Sorry, Caleb. But anyway, So that's why I didn't want to look at doing any kind of fire escape out here or anything like that, or any kind of winder condition, which is also, it's not desirable. So I'm looking at a code-compliant stair. And that was the intent of this location. I just get a little larger area. And this is also bubbled information based on, I think, your request, Mr. Sanchez. We did not survey initially the neighboring building, so I did go back and locate those columns and that window in the breezeway that's set back a little over 3 feet. So I wanted to show that, and I think, I don't know if you did get the image from Rick Crawford.
I saw the photos, yes. Yeah. So those are secondary windows for those residential units there, secondary
piping. They are, but I thought I would just show that.
Thank you.
Trying to show is that we're actually staying clear of that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It's very helpful.
Are there any questions?
No, I think you've addressed all the questions and concerns that I had, so thank you.
Okay, great.
Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 14 for 12 Sanchez Street. Seeing no public comment, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and noting the lot depth as well as the existing condition of the stairs. I think that it's been demonstrated that it would not have an adverse impact on the property at the rear. So, again, inclined to grant the requested variance. I think the 311 expires in just a couple days on the 25th, so we would hold any decision letter until after that period. But that, again, public hearing is closed. We can move on to
item number 15, case number 2013.0230V, 3964 20th Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Tim Roush. I'm the architect for the project. The property owner's names are Minnie Ingersoll and James Milner. James is here with me today. The proposed project is to build a new exterior stair in the rear yard, going from the second floor down to the rear yard. There's currently no direct access to the rear yard from the main living spaces on the upper floor. The only access to the rear yard is from the lower floor. The proposed exterior stair would also improve the life safety of the building by providing a second means of egress. The required rear yard is 51.3 feet. The existing home extends to within 45.3 feet of the rear property line. That right there is existing building. The proposed exterior stair would extend with 41.9 feet to the rear property line and add an encroachment of 3.5 feet. When we had the pre-application meeting, the two directly adjacent neighbors attended, and we received one letter of support from one of the adjacent neighbors, which has already been provided. And this morning, we received another letter of support from the other neighbor, which I'd like to submit for public record. And thank you. I would like to call James Milner, the owner's fiancé, to say a few words. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi. My name is James Milner. I cohabit 3964 with Minnie Ingersoll, and we're to be married in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's exciting times. Minnie's lived in San Francisco for 10 years. I've been here for 3 years. We bought the house about 18 months ago. Currently, the only access to the backyard is essentially via the room we choose to sleep in, our bedroom. And you have to walk around our double bed to get, it's kind of an L-shaped dog leg to get to the backyard. And, you know, we have guests and family, including our neighbours. We're close friends with both neighbours. And so just having any level of access from that living area, all our living area is on the first floor. So having a basic level of access from that first floor to the garden is really important to how we use the house. What we've tried to do is do the minimal. So we haven't put any sort of an area to stand on that first floor. It's literally just, and we've tried to make the staircase as light as possible. And as I say, we've got support from both neighbours. They also want access to our garden through our Yeah, I mean, the only other thing is Minnie's also expecting, so she's due in October of this year.
Wow.
So, you know, as this as we start to have relatives staying more and that sort of thing, the staircase really starts to matter. So I'd really appreciate it if you consider it positively.
Got everything going on this year.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a big year. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? That's item number 15 for 3964 20th Street. Seeing none, we close the public hearing on this item. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting that it is a minor encroachment into the required rear yard in order to provide direct access from more so the common areas rather than through the master bedroom. So again, with that, inclined to grant the requested variance. I think the Section 311 also expires on May 25th for this item, so we hold the decision letter till after that date. But and that is all for that item.
But we need to go back to item number 5, if any of them are
Is anyone here,
here
for item number 5, 427 Noe Street?
This is 427 Noe Street. Are any of you the sponsors here?
None, and no comment on the item. So with that, we would
continue. We're moving this to July 24, because the June is already closed calendar.
So this item will be moved to July 24th. Public hearing remains open on item number 5. And
also number 8, item number 8, case number 2012.1075V, 43 Powers Avenue.
No one is here for that item either, so seeing that there's no public comment, so we'll continue that also to July 24th.
Okay.
Public hearing remains open.
Then we are...
And then now...
Any
public general public comment?
No, I said an item for number 9. I forgot to
provide. Oh, sorry. Oh, you can just leave that up here. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. So as then there's a general public comment, and if no one has...
Thank you.
General public comment? That's good enough.
I came because a neighbor of mine is planning has requested a variance, so I wanted to see what the procedure is.
Oh, okay.
And I was told that my name is Carolyn Johnston, and I was told that that is tentatively set on your calendar for June 26th, and I wanted to know if that's still the case.
So the we'll finalize the agenda the week of June 3rd. We do, before the notices get sent out, 20 days in advance, there's a poster on the property.
Okay.
And so 20 days in advance is the week of June 3rd, and I meet with staff at that time to review the notice language and review the project.
Okay.
And so, you know, if it is currently on the calendar, I assume that it will stay on the calendar unless if we're awaiting additional information or completion of an environmental review. So if it most likely it will stay on. I mean, sometimes cases do come off, but I would contact the staff planner the week of June 3rd to confirm that it'll be on for the June 26th hearing. But in any event, if it is on the June 26th hearing, you'll see a poster go up 20 days in advance.
Since I'm the next door neighbor, will I get a copy of the plans at that time, or will I just get a notice that it's that the application for the variance?
The plans will be available online, so we have a link on the poster and also the mailed notice, but you can request a copy of the plans from staff. They can email it to you because we'll have it as a PDF.
Okay.
So they can just email it to you again that week. And once we prepare the plans for publishing online that week as well, so they're usually up about 20 days or so. They get posted to our website about 20 days in advance.
Okay, and then two other questions. You, assuming like one neighbor has already said that he wants to oppose the variance, but he's going to be out of town, so he was going to write a letter, mm-hmm. and I wasn't sure whether he should send it to the planner who's assigned to the project.
Yes. So to the staff planner, and they incorporate it into our case file, and they let me know that there's testimony in opposition and show me the letter. So.
Okay, and then I noticed that when you were talking about there were some projects for which discretionary review was requested.
Mm-hmm.
If
discretionary review is requested, does that remove you from, I mean, does that mean you are no longer variance application?
I'll still review the variance application, but if a discretionary review is filed before we have the variance hearing, then we continue the variance hearing and have a joint hearing at the Planning Commission. And the Planning Commission meets on Thursdays in room 400, and so we would move the hearing to a different date. So rather than having the hearing on June 26th, it would probably be sometime in July or August, because if a discretionary review is filed, usually that comes in, it could come in a day before the variance hearing, and then we have to continue it and try to schedule the items to be heard together. And that's to give kind of everyone, so people don't have to go to one hearing.
Exactly. So I guess I'm a little confused, though. So the issue of the discretionary review and your hearing of the variance
are two separate decisions.
Two separate decisions, but it would be a joint hearing.
Correct. And
so you would be in that room, and you would, and all the arguments would be presented together.
Yeah. So I'll sit with the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission will consider the project as its entirety. And I typically focus on the variance. So if it's a rear yard variance, we may only be looking at, you know, how many feet they can go out in the backyard. The Planning Commission may be looking at how tall the building is and other things, too.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and if you have any other questions, you can... who's the staff planner that's assigned to
Michael
it?
Michael Smith.
Michael Smith. You can give Michael a call, and he's very familiar. He can answer your questions.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Any other public comment? That's not part of public comment, but we can have that discussion. So I'll just close the public hearing, and we'll re-adjourn on Wednesday, June 26th. Thank you.